Okay, now can you guys hear me?
Okay. All right. Well, I'll keep it about this far away from my mouth. Okay. All right, well, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time, just that we have in your presence, and we get to remember you. We get to remember what you've done for us, Jesus, how you came down for us. You came down to a sinful, hurting, broken world, and you came to us, Lord, and lived the perfect life we could never live. You died the death that we deserved upon the cross, and because of your sacrifice, because of your love, we know that we have joy, we have hope, and I just thank you that all of us are here this morning celebrating this and celebrating you, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us in our lives as we continue to remember you, continue to become more like you, and in this time and in always, Lord, just worship you, tell others about you, and Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for who you are. And we pray just in this time with your word, in this time together, will you help us? Will you instruct us, Lord? Just thank you for your presence, Lord. And whenever we hear your word, Lord, it is you speaking to us. It's you working in us to help us know you better. So, Father, we thank you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so, well, it's really great privilege for me, guys, just to be up here with you this morning, hearing your needs, you know, getting to serve you in this way. So we've talked a lot about joy already, and we've already gathered some things, but now during this season and always in our world as Christians, we want to know what is joy, and that's the question we're going to be answering this morning is, well, what is joy? And many things have been said, but it's important for us to know biblically what that answer is. So joy, it's closely related to gladness and happiness, although joy is more of a state of being than an emotion. It's a result of choice, okay? One of the fruits of the Spirit, joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit, and having joy is part of the experience of being a Christian. Okay, so Galatians 5:22, joy is listed as a fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so we walk with the Spirit as Christians. We obey God and we have joy. Okay? And so joy comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within us, helps us bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy, among many others, but joy is our focus here this morning. And it's not experienced by unbelievers. It's not experienced by people who have not believed in Jesus alone for their salvation, okay? That is important for us to understand because we can't tell people about the joy of knowing Jesus until we stress to them the true message of believing. Okay, the message of the gospel is to believe in Jesus, okay? And we have to start there, because joy happens only when we have the Holy Spirit, okay? And so it's important for us to hear what Jesus says in John chapter 7, verse 37, starting there. Let me read this to you. He says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. So we start with belief, okay? We start with belief. In order for them to have joy, they must believe in Jesus, okay? And belief is, as Paul said in Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. That word believe is a matter of transferring our trust from ourselves to what Jesus has done for us in saving us from our sins, from what we want for our lives, our desires, our plans, to now God is on the throne of our lives. God has final say over every decision, over every matter. Okay, it becomes not what I want, but what God wants. Not pleasing myself, but pleasing God. Okay, so we have this as Christians. If you have believed, you are saved. You have this. Okay, and it's our choice, okay? So you understand that joy is not an emotion. It is a choice. However, there are positive emotions that result. I think we are emotional creatures. We have emotions. I think all of us this morning, we are feeling many things as we come together. We're feeling perhaps happiness, or it could be sorrow from one degree or another. But the important thing is that we choose joy. We choose joy, right? We choose to worship God. Joy is a command from God, right? It is a command according to the Scriptures, okay? And so, if it's a command and not something that's based on feeling, it's something we know that, because feelings, they come and go. They ebb and flow, they're up and down, all right? When we obey God's commands, that is not, it's something we do whether we feel like it or not. But we know that if God is dwelling in us, he's helping us to obey the command. We know that gives us hope, because we aren't relying on circumstances. We're not relying on any other thing, okay? So joy is what we always do have during Advent and always. So by the time this worship service is over, by the time we leave here today, when we go throughout our week, when this season of Advent is over, wherever we may be, whatever the future holds, we have joy. Okay. So, understanding all that, what is joy today in your heart? Well, the Psalms helps us a lot with this. God's Word always does. Joy is something we find in the presence of the Lord. We find our joy in the presence of the Lord. Okay? Psalm 16, verse 11, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Okay? God is always with us. And think about that word, eternal. Eternal pleasures. This is something we have now and will have all the way into eternity. We cannot lose the Spirit or our salvation. That's something that is very important for us to know in our doctrines and our walk with the Lord is that He promises to save us from our sins when we believe in Him. We cannot in any way be unsaved. We cannot lose this promise. Once God has saved us, we are going to heaven. We are in the presence. We have the Holy Spirit for all eternity. Okay? We have joy for all eternity. Okay? And we have joy when we praise the Lord. That's Psalm 33, verse 1. We sing joyfully. It says, sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. That's us. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. Again, sing here is an imperative. It is a command. We have it our whole lives because of His unfailing love. Okay? It's because of His unfailing love, our response is joy. God's unfailing love in saving us, our response is to live joyfully, live a joyful life. Psalm 90, verse 14, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Okay. God continues to satisfy us. We continue to sing for joy and be glad all our days. So all this is our introduction. This is how we understand joy. Okay. Now, how do we embrace joy is what the question comes down to. Okay. So we embrace joy, true joy, from the Bible. Okay. Psalm 19, verse 8, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Okay. One helpful illustration for this idea is our hunger for the scriptures is not like our hunger for food. Okay. Food is it's a physical illustration. And when we get away from food, the hungrier we become for it. Now, the more we eat food, we become full, we don't want food anymore, right? Scripture is very different. The more time we spend away from Scripture, this is important, the more time we spend away from Scripture, the less hungry we'll be for it. The less we'll desire it. The less we'll have joy. The more time we spend in it, the more the hungrier we will be for it. See, one of the things that was told to a new Christian just one day was, well, he had heard the gospel from a certain individual and was given a Gospel of John book, and he was told, I'd encourage you to read a chapter from this a day. Now, I think you'll find this book exciting where you may just read more than that, but at least a chapter a day. And the story goes, he had the whole book finished in less than a week. See, that's how it works. Are we hungrier for the scriptures? That would mean that we're staying in it. That would mean that we're continuing to seek the Lord, that we're continuing to follow Him. Okay. The Holy Spirit. Okay, and we talked a good deal already about the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit, it's important to know this, the Bible is the Holy Spirit's book, okay? This is why when we're Christians, we have the Holy Spirit. God wants us to spend time with Him in His Word, and when we do that, the Holy Spirit, He helps us to understand the Scripture, helps us to remember the scriptures, helps us to obey the scripture, resulting in joy. okay? Teaching at church. This is how we grow together, whether it's from the pulpit, whether it's from Advent readings, whether it's from hearing from our mission moments or other opportunities. It could be Wednesday night Bible study, our men's or women's group. It may be from Brianna's Hope, okay? But the things these all have in common is that they're all teaching, okay? But it all goes beyond a formal setting. It is something that's very relational. It's something that is involved in discipleship, okay? When we're together, when we simply talk to one another, we have opportunity to hear from one another, like we just did during praise and prayer reports, you know, or it could just be a simple conversation about how is your life going, okay? Here's what I read today in Scripture. I think this may encourage you. See, all this is helping us to experience more joy as a body of believers, okay? This is the process of growing, and involved in that is joy, okay? Now, another way we receive joy is from trials. Now, that is very different from what the world believes. But in trials, we read from James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, we are supposed to consider it pure joy. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So, it is the world's understanding that joy or happiness can only be had when circumstances are preferable. You know, when I have comfort, when I'm well fed, when I'm with my family, okay? However, the Bible, when we understand it, we understand that we can have joy no matter what our circumstances may be. Even when they're not preferable, even when circumstances are challenging, okay? Because, what does it say here? You know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, what's happening here is we are becoming more like Christ. This is something that we anticipate more and more with our walk with the Lord. This is something that we are seeing more and more from one degree to another. I'll just say, being with you guys in the time that I've had, 2 years ago, you guys aren't the same as what you were. I think that's something we should consider as joy. That's something we consider as a very positive thing, okay? See, because all of this is leading to our eternity in heaven, where we will be with Christ forever, completely like Him, okay? That's what joy is. That's what joy is all about. Not from Google or Facebook, right? It is not from Christmas trappings. And when I say Christmas trappings, I think there are a lot of things in this world, and they're not altogether bad things by any means, okay? We have gift giving, all right? That's something that's good to do, I think. And I think we like receiving gifts. We like things such as family, being together, and just hearing from one another. Maybe you guys, of course, you don't have your family all close together this time of year, and this provides opportunity for us to all come together. You know, we could consider Facebook. There may be some positive things, such as updates on family. But what's important for us to remember is these very quickly can become distractions from the main point, okay? Because, see, all that I just said has to do with temporary matters. Like, happiness is a temporary thing, okay? So these are good things, but they become problematic when we live for them. We live with them in our lives, but they become problematic when we live for them. You see the difference? Because that's idolatry. That's living for something or someone other than Christ. Loving them more. That's how we lose our joy. We have to live for God and live to please Him in order to have more joy. And ultimately, it's for His glory. It's for His glory and our good. But all that works together. So we have to put off things that diminish our joy. It could even be church traditions. Now, these things are good. These things are necessary. But they all point to Christ. They all point to Him. And I think it's a temptation for us to become ensnared in the tradition or the work or the serving or the elements involved in that rather than to remember the one whom they're supposed to point to. The one being Christ. The one being Him. Okay? So we have to put on thinking of joy as a gift from God, which is our choice. And when we go through circumstances that are difficult, I think we understand that God is not, his goal is not to make us more happy, which has to do with temporary things, as it is to, his goal is more to make us holy, okay? God wants our holiness because He knows that that has to do with our joy, His glory, our good, okay? So point number two here, true joy flows from a relationship with Christ. Okay, Philippians 2, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Okay? So, the thing is here, if you have any encouragement, if you have any common sharing in the Spirit, and these if statements are not conditional, really. Paul is not saying here, he's not implying the possibility that they don't have it, namely the Philippians whom he was writing to. The word here means since you have joy, since you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, since, and what he's saying here is since you have these things, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. So we have the source of all joy. If we have that, then that's going to influence our living. That's going to influence our lives, okay? And what that looks like very practically in our lives is being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. So we come here this morning, we bring our praises, our prayer requests, our matters together, and the goal is to be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. As we spend time with God and His Word, we also find things to help encourage one another with, okay? And how did Paul receive joy? Well, we read here, make my joy complete. So what Paul, how he received joy was by putting others first. Okay? He received joy by putting others first. And that's important for us to know as a body of believers. What are we going to do with this? And Philippians chapter 2 continues on in verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. So, this is what Paul is getting after, is he would be very joyful if the Philippians here would be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. That has to do with their interests, okay? And he wants to encourage them to do nothing out of selfish ambition. Nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. What he wants is, in humility, value others above yourselves. What he wants is their humility. And one of the things that is common in churches is we become zealous. We become zealous for God and for his will, but we lack humility. We struggle with humility. I know that's something that I need to work on in my life. That's something we work on in our lives together, okay? And we value others above ourselves, not looking to our own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. And that is not, in a sense, becoming a doormat for other people. That's not something that has to do with, completely sacrificing everything in an irresponsible way in our lives, like whether it be money or our own needs. But it does involve considering them and making sacrifices in a godly way that would bless them, that would involve their interests more than ours. And so, Advent and Christmas are about sharing God's gift of joy. So, this is something that all of us are considering in our lives. What we want to consider is, what are the things we need to put off in our lives? What are the things that God may not want for us? What are the things that we allow to become a distraction? What are the things that we consider to be more important than others at times when God wants us to consider them? What are things to put on? Those are some things we could pray about. What are some things we could do? What are some ways we could serve other people? A lot of that has to do with replacing our distracting thoughts, okay? I think one of the hymns, one of the worship songs we just sang this morning that I think is really encouraging and really important is just one of the lines there. Was, now on my Savior I fix my eyes. My life is his and his hope is mine. You know, there's a great transition there that I think is important for all of us, wherever we may be as Christians, is just making that our choice to switch our attention from whatever may be distracting us this season to Christ, to who he is, to what he's done for us. Okay? That is what Advent is all about. That's what our lives is all about as we obey God. And as we do that, Pray for divine appointments to give blessings of joy to. Pray for divine appointments to bless other people. You know, that could be at the workplace. That could be at the store. Stores are going to be very busy this year. What are some things we could do? We could ask good questions. That's always important, asking good questions. How can I pray for you? Where do you go to church at? So the very simple, but very, very important questions, good questions that could lead to further conversation, okay? It could be in our families. But God knows where you guys are. And if you pray to him, I think he will show you where he wants you in that. And just to wrap everything up here this morning is we want to bring this question to ourselves. This Advent, how will you use your joy to increase joy in others or to help unbelievers find true joy in their hearts? So how will you use your joy to increase joy in other Christians or to help unbelievers find true joy in their hearts? How can you encourage Christians? How can you be a witness to this joy that we have? Okay. And that's all I have for you this morning, guys, but it is, I think, just a really important opportunity for me, and I do appreciate it just to come here, encourage you, and to point others to Christ and who he is. This is what it's all about. And as we continue on with whatever we have next this day or this week, I want to encourage you guys with that question. Okay, so let's pray, and then we'll move on. Okay, Father, thank you for your word this morning, for your spirit and your leading, just for your love in our lives, God. And how we know that we are here together as your people, your chosen people, under your authority, under your control, your divine control over every circumstance. And God, we just know that wherever we may be, there you are with us. And you will help us grow closer to you. You will help us have joy every day. You will help us no matter where we are. And we have a message to tell other people about you. So Father, help us as we just remember. Help us as we take to heart your word and just remember your presence wherever we go. We love you. In Christ's name, amen. All right, and we have one more song, okay?